What's up, everybody? My name is Topher Welsh, and welcome to the Glitch Podcast. I'm here with my lovely co-host,
Eugene Kappen.
I don't know if you're above me or below me, but
I'm also below you. I'm under you.
Okay. Well, I don't know how we end this, but how rude of us! How rude of us! Have you,
like, you're in the same spot every episode.
Well, I was trying to present you, but then I forgot, and I tried to make a joke. Nonetheless, we're here with our good friend Gerald McAllister. How's it going?
Hi there. Going well.
So Gerald's a software engineer out here in Seattle, Bellevue area, works for Amazon, and you work in the VR, AR space, and you do a lot of really cool stuff.
Not at Amazon. Amazon is my day job. I do VR and stuff in my spare time making games.
Okay. What's cool. The last, like, project you got done, like, completing in the realm of, like, the VR, AR stuff?
Yeah, so the last AR thing I did was I built, like, a little app that lets you take 3D models, drop them into spaces with goofy photos and stuff. And so you can download that on the Google Play Store right now. It's coming to iOS at some point. I just need to finish that up. But yeah, the idea is to basically, I want to try and recreate the ability to do, like, a Windows Movie Maker, but on your phone instead, and be able to, like, add CGI props and stuff like that, too.
Oh, right on.
Okay.
So, that's cool.
How long have you been into, like, the VR augmented reality world? I mean, you're obviously a career software engineer, but, like, when did you jump in? Were you, like, an early adopter, or did you just, like, happen to hit a hackathon last year, or what's up?
So I got started back in 2008, 2009 with AR Toolkit. It was an old QR code-based AR software. We've fallen.
Go ahead. By all means, keep going. I'll just fix my camera. My bad.
I got started back then with AR Toolkit. I played around with a lot of the AR stuff and took a look at VR and... Well, it was cool at the time, you know, being able to take, like, a 3D model and put it on the palm of my hand with a QR code. Tech just wasn't there. Trying to lug around a laptop at the time was just not pleasant to do. And so I kind of just shelved it for the times, went to college and learned how to actually be a software engineer. And then around 2013 with the DK1, I started getting back into the space with VR. I started doing a lot of stuff with the Microsoft Kinect in it. And built, like, a prototype with positional tracking and hand tracking and got it so you could walk around on the moon, which is pretty fun.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. And then from there, it's just been kind of taking off from there, jumping back into AR with Project Tango from Google and getting more into VR with some of the mobile headsets and stuff. So, yeah.
Right on. Yeah, it seems like you've been in the game for a while, man, like a minute.
A little bit.
you've been in the XR industry as long as we've been in here, right?
I think probably longer than us, because you said, like, 2009 you started.
Yeah. So the big thing for me is I didn't really jump in. So I did a lot of prototyping and stuff on my own. You know, I did a lot with, like, webcams so I could get, like, my hand to track a mouse with, like, a special glove. Actually, I think I have that glove sitting around over here somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's on one of these shelves somewhere, but it's basically like a bright orange glove. The thing's super hideous, but it was great for tracking in the early days because I didn't have anything else like it. But yeah, I've been kind of doing my own thing. And then 2015 is when I kind of started reaching out more. Went to Oculus Connect 2 for the first time and a whole bunch of other conferences and stuff.
Nice. Right on.
So... You're getting ready to release a new product, right?
Trying to, yeah. So my recent escapades in VR have been centered around haptics. So the idea is to be able to get it. If you've ever played a Nintendo Switch, they have a game on there called 1-2 Switch that makes really creative use of the haptics. They have a mini game where you have a box, and inside the box are marbles, but you don't know how many. And the goal is to guess how many marbles are in the box. In order to do that, you have to shift around the controller, and then the marbles in the box in the game roll around, and you can feel the vibrations of that as if the controller was the box. And what's neat about this is the tech that powers that is the exact same tech in the Oculus Touch controllers. So you can actually mimic that exact same feeling in VR. And so I'm kind of working on a haptics library for Unity that'll basically be drag and drop to do that. And then gonna do like a little game with it as well.
Do you know what the game is going to look like?
Still kind of forming it. I want to keep it a little bit under wraps for the time being. Just some mystery there. The hope is to kind of give an announcement soon. It involves wizards, potions, and a lot of student debt, though.
Wizards, okay. Potions, and student debt.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm pretty excited for this combo. It's kind of inspired by Eva Howard from the Seattle VR meetups. Posted about doing kind of more non-violent stuff, and I thought, how can I do a really cool non-violent game in VR that makes great use of haptics? So I think this is a good starting place.
I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for one of our famous glitch podcast pitches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, our pitches.
So, pitch. So here's the pitch, the idea. What if there was a game
Kitty.
Where it's all my severed head, it's just my severed head as a tool, and you're using it to solve puzzles? I mean, it's already severed, so it's not violent.
You take a fire, you put it into the mouth, and that lets you light the way. Yeah. Drop the head on the pedestal, it opens a door.
Exactly. Or, you know, you need to throw it and make a basket, that sort of thing.
Oh, man, that sounds like I'd be terrible at that.
Well, the great thing is we actually already have a test video done specifically
true.
Of this. We have a video called 100 Severed Heads, where it's just my severed head.
I think this could be a really good game. I mean, it could be, you know, the Super Mario of severed head games.
I just don't know if Absolutely. I want the haptics that go along with severed heads. That's the big question for me.
Well, I mean, you don't just have one severed head. You have, like, severed heads of all sizes. So maybe you got a box and you're rolling it around and you got to guess how many severed heads are rolling around in this box.
Hey, Gerald, did Eugene mention that the severed head is his own severed head?
I think he mentioned it previously.
He just maybe. Really likes looking at himself all the time.
My severed head.
I really thought
he's
that
like you
Bob
are so beautiful. Now go
of
make
your
a basket
face for a second. I was like prepared for it. I was like, oh man, he's got
my own vanity is fueling my career.
Hey, it works.
I am the Hillary Clinton of VR.
Looking more like the Anderson Cooper of VR right now with that gray hair.
I've been told I sound like Tom Green.
Is that gray or blue hair? It looks blue to me.
It's kind of
it's
a mix.
Grew.
Okay.
It's grayish blue. I got it done last. It was supposed to be like just kind of a silver.
Okay.
And people don't realize this in color theory. There is blue in gray. So it came out a little bit more blue than I wanted. It was supposed
gonna say,
to be a white.
It looks like a metallic gray. Blue from here, at least on the video.
I dig it.
I think that's
it's very
just
quicksilvery.
Like my ring light.
It's very quicksilvery. I like it, Eugene. I don't care what Gerald
Thanks.
Says.
I didn't
Thanks.
Say I didn't like it. I think it looks fine.
I just messed
up. Gerald under his breath. God, I freaking hate his hair.
So,
I just want to cut all of his hair when he's asleep.
You were talking about like haptics and stuff. So how long have you been into haptics, like working with like the haptic type stuff?
So haptics are relatively new. I kind of got started on that really only about a year and a half ago. I've looked around at like the haptic scene and I've seen a lot of the cool suits and stuff. Haptics here in Seattle has some really, really cool tech, but it's really hard to get a hold of that, especially as kind of like somebody who's doing it more on the side just for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to get a hold of that hardware. So I really wanted to focus on how can I bring this to the wider masses. And with the Nintendo Switch, I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And I was reading a iTeardown article about it. And it was like, oh, yeah, these are the same haptics engines in the touch controllers. And I was like, what? Okay, let's give this a go.
So essentially, the libraries that you're building could actually transfer for, like, the Switch as well as Oculus. Does the new Vive controllers going to have
the
haptics
Vive
and stuff
ones,
in them too or no?
the Vive wands. I don't know about the new Knuckles controllers. I'm still on the wait list for that.
I mean, I know there's a little bit of haptics in the Vive wands now, but I mean, like...
But the Vive wands use, I want to say, the same haptics as well. Problem is that the Vive SDK, the Steam VR SDK, doesn't let you access it the way the Oculus SDK does.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, one of the neat things with the SDK that I've been playing with is you can actually play audio files as vibrations in the controller. And it does, like, all the different... So background on this, right? Traditional rumble controllers were just kind of a very simple motor that would just vibrate. You couldn't, as a developer, you couldn't control how much, really. You could control, like, this is a lot of rumble versus this is low rumble. And that was it. The new ones are a little bit more like playing music in that you actually control the frequency of vibration. So you can play very specific frequencies of vibration out of the controllers. And so you can take like an audio file, translate that to the wave function, and then just play that straight out of the controllers. So you could do something like playing like a, you know, if you're holding a boombox, you can actually play the sound effects as vibrations out of it. Or if you're holding Eugene's severed head, you know, you can have him screaming and feel the screaming vibrate up to the hair.
Oh, I love that.
Nice.
Ideas and goals.
We're going to make it happen one day, Topher.
I'm just picturing this, like, rugged adventurer, like, holding your head like a lantern, except instead of a handle, it's the hair, and the head's just, like, got its mouth wide open with a beam of light coming out.
It would like be me as like a caveman or like a Viking adventuring through with my beard and holding Eugene's bluish, silverish hair. He's ah.
Oh, okay. I have a cosplay pitch off of this idea.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Go for it.
Have you played the new God of War?
No, I've seen bits and pieces.
Because Kratos, for half the game, is carrying a severed head that just like talks and gives him like advice and stuff.
And Kratos is me about 150 pounds of muscle more. So
you need to find somebody who can mod that game to swap out the in-game head for yours.
Oh, that's nice. Like Twitter gold content right there.
And then swap out Kratos for Topher.
There you go. Yes, perfect. We have the avatar. We really do.
Topher, can you just give me a boy?
What's the words? Baboya?
Hello, boy.
Hello, boy.
Oh, God.
You will be mine.
I don't know if the effects on the mic sound that good, but I feel like I sound badass.
it sounds a lot better than the other mic.
There we go. Perfect.
I love Kratos' voice in the whole series. So the voice actor for Kratos in the God of War games is a, you know, kind of a bigger black dude, as you would imagine with a voice that deep. And I remember seeing, like, somebody did this really long post of, like, how come, you know, like, it's okay to have a black actor play Kratos, but Kratos isn't black. And everyone's like, do you know what the background story for this game is? He's a Spartan. Yeah. It was just really funny, like, Italians, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just like the story for those games has always been the fascinating part to me, right? Like, the idea that you play as this warrior and the gods of the game are actually evil, right? These classic heroes are actually the villains of the game. It's just, I don't know, I think there's a creative idea behind that. And, you know, sure, the game series has been around for a while, so maybe it's not as novel anymore, but I still think it's a neat concept.
I don't play very many console games, to tell you the truth. It's very, very few and far between that I play console games. I pretty much actually only stick to VR.
Yeah. I would if it weren't for the fact that the setup for me is just enough effort that I don't do it enough.
Right. I just...
You mean play console games or VR games?
VR games. Console games are the same way, though. The only reason I play them anymore is because of the Switch. The fact that I can pick it up and play it on the bus into the city, you know.
Oh, that's fair.
See, I just can't wait for the Oculus Quest, because then I can play Beat Saber on the bus on the way to the city.
Yep.
That would
I just
be
see you like in the middle of a bus, like punching people.
Dude, that is a viral video that will go gold. Just like playing Beat Saber in random places. It's just da 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 in like middle of Seattle, in the park, at the dog park, at the restaurant.
Cut
going to
you,
the bathroom.
Like, in jail because you punched some kid.
Yeah, the end of the video is just me getting drugged. Like, I didn't see him. I was in VR.
No. It's you getting dragged away and trying to swipe at the right lock still.
Yeah.
I'm out of bounds. I'm out of bounds.
I lost tracking.
Oh, man.
Damn it.
Great.
Back on the haptics thing, because I'm super fascinated by haptics, honestly. Yeah. What's, like, the most impressive, like, haptic setup that you've seen so far? Like, anything at, like, a conference that, like, super stood out to you? Or I know you mentioned haptics, but...
Haptics had some pretty neat stuff. I thought that was pretty cool with their focus on the individual touch points and figuring out, like, The thing they gave, right, is, like, I think I got a pair of tweezers here for my hardware projects. But, like, if you take a pair of tweezers, right, you've got the ends of them and stuff. Show it to... and as you get it closer to your skin, right, at a certain point, it stops feeling like two tips and it starts feeling like a single one because your skin can't differentiate between the two points. And so they were focused on, like, trying to make that in a wide use. And I think they did a really cool job with it. One of the other interesting ones, though, was at PAX. There was a great talk about, like, designing different materials and, like, how as a developer do you capture what, like, rock feels like versus grass versus wood, you know, and how do you translate that into a game effectively?
Interesting. Yeah, because that is, like, those finer details are going to be really hard to, like, overcome.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's almost like, you know, it used to be when you were doing 3D games, you didn't care about, like, lighting or anything. It was just a model of, like, you know, a texture for whatever model you had. And then we got lighting, and so they started having textures specifically for lighting, for bump mapping, right? And I can almost see, like, textures for haptics in a similar manner.
Interesting. So, like, with the haptics gloves, do those ones, like, do they constrain your, like, your hands, too? Like, if you're grabbing something, and you're grabbing, like, a ball, and you got it here, will it not let you go past here? Like, does it have, like, a restraint system?
Yeah, I think what they do is they actually, like, pull your fingers back, in a sense, right? Like, you start grabbing in the ball, and they apply the force so that it can't go past that point.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah, that is super cool, because, like, that's what, like, I was thinking when I first tried, like, Leap Motion. Leap Motion. And I was like, oh, this would be really cool. But if I was able to, like, grab something and, like, actually, like, physically feel the... Man, that's getting... That's interesting, man. Because then that brings into the whole other realm of, like, when you start getting, like, sleeves with that stuff, with these restraint systems somehow. So, like, you can hug someone... Or, like, you know, if you kick something, like, it'll stop your foot. Like, that's, like, where it's going to be going eventually, but...
Or you can take a punch to the face.
Or, yeah.
Or if you fall down a cliff, you can feel every rock on the way down.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun.
One of the
Or
crazy...
if you're just a severed head, you can't feel your body.
One of the crazy things now, though, too, is, like, you think about it. Let's say you're holding, like, a plate and you drop, like, a small rock onto the plate, right? You're not going to feel the rock's texture, but you're going to feel the vibrations of the rock hitting the plate. And so one of the things that's really cool is with the technology we have now, I think we can simulate that to a pretty realistic point where, you know, if you're holding a sword in the game, it doesn't really matter if a rock hits the sword as far as the texture of the rock. What matters is the vibrations that it sends onto the sword itself. And so because you're already gripping the controller, you can vibrate the controller at that point, and it adds a really cool level of immersion to it as well.
In the same sense, could you, like, with a sword, is it able to somehow simulate weight by, like, so say, like, the hilt of the sword is, like, the heaviest, then you have the blade. Well, like, if you hold it at the hilt, it's going to kind of weigh down more on this end than here. Would the restraint system kind of shift, or, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it. You know what I'm trying to say here?
No, I do get what you mean. And actually, Microsoft did a prototype of this where they had a controller with a motor and a hinge, and it would physically shift where the weight of it was depending on the object you were holding and how you were holding it. And I want to say they had like a balancing demo for it where like you were balancing a plate on one of those long poles. And so like as you and as you moved it around, it would shift the weight to try and feel a little bit different.
There's so many different levels of like where they're trying to push the immersion. Mm-hmm. It's like when they start getting one like perfect, then we can move on to the next one and then the next one. Then like, sooner or later, it's just going to be the Oasis. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's going to be wild what we see over the next few years. That's the thing that keeps like blowing me away is like, you know, I'm sure a company like Oculus or HTC or Valve is working on this kind of stuff. I'm sure they've got some wild demos ready to go already, right? Like,
right. The stuff we don't see is like, you know, probably years ahead of what we're ever going to see right now.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't care about that. Sorry, my phone is telling me I need to re-enter a password. I'm not going to do that right now. So, yeah, no. The haptic stuff is a wild, wild ride right now.
That's cool. Like there's always some sort of new tech right around the corner that's about to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we only get like little glimpse of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw in the Seattle VR group today, GeekWire did its first full volumetric video interview.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that. That was really wild, being able to like take the video as it's playing in your browser. Yeah,
So it's not a 360 video. It's a 3D. It's basically a bunch of point cloud data playing like a video amongst those points, and you can like turn it around and look at it from any angle you choose.
Oh, this is so cool!
It's actually the technology is developed by a co-motion company called Omnivore.
Oh, nice. Have you worked with them at all?
I haven't worked with them. I've had conversations with their staff and team. Mm-hmm. And it's some really impressive tech.
This is super impressive. I'm watching the thing right now. This is insane.
Right?
It looks so clear.
Right? I've been watching them like basically bang away for 2 years at this technology, and it used to be, you know, terrible like 2 years ago, and to see from where it was to like how clean it is right now, it's amazing.
Yeah,
that's really, really, really impressive. They didn't do this in the Microsoft Volumetric Studio, did they?
No. They did it at the lab. Like they have their own setup there.
Do you know if it's multiple cameras, like one in front, one behind, and on the sides? Like how many cameras?
They have a full rig to. You have to have a full rig to pull that off.
They've raised more than $2 million to date from angel investors and institutional firms, says the article. So they've got probably a full-on volumetric studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, like the thing that's wild. Cameras. The thing that's wild to me is, like, have you guys ever looked into any of the, like, AI machine learning stuff with a lot of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've paid a little bit of attention to it. It's kind of scary. It's awesome, but scary.
Like, I'm just imagining the day where you can take, like, a normal video like this, right? And with an AI, be able to not just recreate the depth from all of the video, but also to be able to, like, try and have it guess what everything behind everything is, right? Like, the back of a person's head is pretty generalized. And in a video, right, if you move even slightly, like, you can see my hair is long and things like that. Or, like, the back of your hat has one of the fuzzy things. And, like, an AI could use that data potentially to just totally recreate what's behind you without ever actually having seen it. And so you could have a single camera that could give almost equivalent video output to that without the crazy setup and with a fraction of the cost.
Yeah. Interesting,
For everybody at home, when you're on Facebook and you see those volume depth photos that when you're scrolling you get some sort of parallax, that's very, very, very early stage of what we're currently talking about.
Yeah, And like the end goal of what we're talking about, right, is that, you know, you're out to dinner with your friends and you want to get this great volumetric photo, right? You want to be able to go back to that place in VR. So you take a single photo and it takes makes a 3D model of where you're at so that you can go back at any point, you know?
What's even crazier is thinking that, like, do you remember that one project that Flickr, or maybe it was Google Photos, had it a long time ago? You could type in a location of, like, say, Times Square. Mm-hmm. And it would look for all the photos taken at Times Square, but it was trying to arrange them in a place where, mm-hmm, if you looked at it from this angle, this was the angle, mm-hmm, of the Empire State Building and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really, like, really rudimentary because it's just, like, mm-hmm, pictures plastered kind of in 3D space and you can, mm-hmm, make your way around. But think about, like, machine learning could essentially take your one photo and then take all those other photos and then take all its machine learning and then say, like, oh, well, I know what the entire environment looks like, minus these 18 people in the room, but then I have all their Flickers and their Facebooks, so I'm just going to go over there and just check out all their photos really quick, and I'm going to see that Shelley has a ponytail, and Eugene has silver hair, and Gerald has longer hair, and Topher's wearing a hat generally all the time, and that's what I'm going to make the missing parts of my photo do. And, like, when you think about when we can, like, process data at the speeds that we're going to be able to process data very, very, very soon, that is, like, a super realistic possibility in the next few years.
So you know how companies create, like, a thought demo of how something is supposed to work before actually going and creating the technology?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My favorite version of what you just talked about is from Avengers 1, and that's how they find Loki.
God damn it, Eugene.
So there's,
you're right.
There's a great demo that Facebook showed. I think it was at F8 last year, 2018. It might have been Oculus Connect 2017. They had a demo where they took a bunch of home videos and they were able to use the home videos to recreate a 3D point cloud of the childhood home. And then when you went to certain areas of the house, it would, like, bring up the video that was pertinent, however you say that word,
prominent
to that section, but, like, relevant more, yes, so, oh, to, yeah, that section of that house. And it would, like, then be able to play that video back, right? And I'm just imagining, like, the end goal, right? Like, the super, probably much further out for this, but, like, imagine taking a home video of, like, your grandparents, right? You probably don't have many memories with them, but you could recreate this moment with them, and then you, right, could enter into it with VR.
I love that. That is such a beautiful concept.
You want to see it get scary, though? Now, sure, imagine that you can have it learn how to mimic their voice and their movements and their looks, and then you can get a nice Black Mirror episode about recreating your grandparents from beyond the grave.
Man, that's...
Well, it was beautiful. Thanks for ruining it.
Well, I just want to be able to play with my childhood dog again. I mean, there's tons of Black German Shepherds, so, I mean...
I can probably recreate that for me. I want my future kids to be a part of my wedding.
Right. Man, it's...
Screw time travel. We can just do this entirely through VR now.
I mean, time travel's real, if you think about it, but you can only go forward.
That's true. Based on the theories, that is true. Yeah.
No. It's not a theory. So if you... Mathematically, we know how to travel forward in time. We just can't go backwards.
Yeah. So we're always time traveling. Yeah. We're just aging. It's called time travel, basically.
No. So if you were, say, on a spaceship and you were just outside the radius of a...
Oh, you're talking like we orbit slower and...
Yeah, because gravity stretches time. If you're just on the outskirts of, like, say, a gravity well, and it's stretching time to where, like, 1 hour is 10 years back home.
Mm-hmm. It's the movie Interstellar.
Yeah, basically. That's a version of time travel.
Here's another fun one, and this is, like, the craziest thing. So imagine for a second that you could go and travel to a new galaxy with potential life, mm-hmm, and you could come back, and it would only take you 6 years to do so, round trip, right? But time-wise, it's going to take, when you come back to Earth, it's going to be the equivalent of like 80 years has passed. Would you go on that trip? It's only 6 years for you, but 80 years on Earth.
Would I be advancing mankind?
Possibly.
Then
you have to be the first one to do it.
Fuck yeah, I would. That's my one. That's my one. Okay. I get one swear word per podcast. So fuck yeah, I would do that. That'd be awesome.
I mean, if you do that, you're essentially, you know, saying goodbye to your kids, right?
But you could
I'm assuming when we have the possibility to do this, it's happening in the future, so.
You could also, that's like weird to think about because like your kids could be like 80 plus years old when you get back, but your grandkids would be like the age that they're at potentially as well.
Well, see, I have so much faith in mankind that by the time I get back 80 years later, health and wellness in the world will advance so far. The normal age for people to die at will be like 150. My kids will still look like 35, 40 years old. They'll be golden. They'll be dying their hair silver. They won't be going gray.
If you want to, you can just clone them.
That is a possibility too.
You could wait,
that's
you know.
A total possibility. I mean, that Chinese guy did it, right?
70 years and just clone your children. That way, when you got back, you got another set of 10-year-olds.
It's like, you guys are just the way I left you, even though this is so long ago.
Or, you know, cryogenically freeze them.
Oh, well, that would just be mean.
But then, like, their
my kids complain
would
that they don't
still
have enough blankets.
Normally.
No. So cryogenics are a thing. It's just every major company that's like that has frozen people haven't been able to like keep the lights on, and so they basically have these like dead bodies.
That's a really bad business plan, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, and they like paid the company to like stash their bodies until like a medical cure is found, or like cancer is, you know, cured for whatever their ailment is, and the company just doesn't outlast until we get to the point where they can thaw them out.
So if these companies just shut the doors, are these guys just shit out of luck and they don't even realize it?
Oh yeah, they end up dying.
This
is a real thing that happens.
I have no idea if this is fake news or not, but it might be. But I've always heard that the hardest part of like cryogenics and stuff is not necessarily the freezing, but the unfreezing. It's really easy for us to like freeze things to a certain point, but then the unfreezing is like, how do we keep it alive as we're unfreezing it?
Yeah, like restarting the body's systems and stuff after being dormant.
So there's a movie coming out that is being developed in the Christian faith. About a young boy who is on ice. He falls into a lake, basically freezes to death, and then he gets brought back to life. But here's the thing.
Captain America was released like several years ago, man. Like, and like.
Well, it's a new movie that's coming out. But
Captain America is a good Christian boy, though. So
he is.
And he was frozen on ice for a very long time.
And he's met several gods.
Still a Christian, though. I don't get that one.
Still a Christian.
Doesn't make sense to me.
But anyway, if you look at like how science actually works, this kid basically falling into below freezing waters that was still liquid is what saved his life from drowning, because it shut down his system fast enough that it basically made it so his brain didn't need as much oxygen, and when they revived him, all they had to do was warm him up and bring him back. So even though he was underwater for like 12-15 minutes, just the fact that, you know, his body had, you know, brought down to like a freezing temperature and then, you know, warmed back up saves his life from drowning. And there's all these like people going, it's a miracle. I'm like, no, it's science. That's how it works.
It's like this.
I'm a Christian and I'm saying it's science.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Anyways.
We have really diverged from the original.
We really have.
VR
Where
topic.
Did we start?
Anyway, haptics. Yeah. Do you think there's a haptics way? So if I wanted to simulate being a child drowning, what sort of haptics would I use?
Well, I mean, we could ask Topher to just put his hands around your throat, and that might be the first start of it, but...
That would feel pretty real.
My cold, cold hands.
I don't think it's a...
Yeah, we'll have to drop them in ice water first, Topher.
Yeah. There we go.
I don't know. There's a... what was that device that you put in front of your computer that simulates...
Whirlwind, right?
Yeah. Different wind and like temperatures based on whatever game you're playing.
Yeah, it was the Whirlwind FX.
Whirlwind FX, yeah.
Yeah, that thing was super cool. It looked like a big subwoofer, and they had two of them, and they set up on your on the sides of your monitors. So when you're playing games, say like you're playing like Street Fighter or something, and one character like shoots like a fireball, one shoots like an ice ball. Well, the one on this side would shoot out cold air because that's over here, and then the fire one would shoot out hot air over here. Or like if you're going through like a tunnel and like it was an ice tunnel over here, like you're going into a warm room on this side, out from the cold, like it would transition you through from what's on screen because it used machine learning to see what was on the video, and it would work for any game. Any DVD, any video input, because it actually just read the what was on screen and then gave the outputs due to those.
Well, it read the color temperatures in the video games is what it is, and that might be like misconstruing if you're watching like a movie because color grading is a real thing.
True.
But, hey, we are coming up on time.
Oh, that just blew past.
Yeah, just like Rollwind FX did.
Oh! Anyways.
Shots fired.
Anyway.
Right on, man. Well, tell the people where they can find all your cool, awesome stuff on the interwebs.
And where they can find your haptics kit when it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gerald.io, GERALD.io takes you right to my website. I link to everything from there.
Perfect.
Perfect.
You guys know where to find us. My name is Topher Welsh.
I'm Captain Design.
And we will see you guys on the next episode. Stay glitched.
Stay glitched.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man.